Dad and I used to go fishing. When I was a kid, we'd go every summer up to the Mountain Fork River in southeastern Oklahoma, oftentimes down south of the dam that dams up Lake Broken Bow, and we'd go fishing on the Beaver's Bend portion of the Mountain Fork River. But other times, we'd go north of the lake and fish from the Arkansas border down to the rapids that are just above Lake Broken Bow. And we'd fish day after day for weeks. When I was a kid, we would go up and we'd spend a couple of weeks in the summer every year fishing. We would stay outside, stay in tents. We'd eat our food cooked over an open fire or over a small portable gas stove. And we would be outside, no beds, no showers, no electricity, no telephones, no TV, no nothing. And that's how Dad liked to do it. He liked to rough it, to do it in the most primitive way he could think of. Of course, we had some comforts, an air mattress for Mom and that kind of stuff. But for the most part, we're just out in the sticky, humid summers in Oklahoma. Oh, Dad loved to rough it. And that's what we did year after year for most summers while I was growing up. The family would go up and spend a couple of weeks together out in nature, camping and fishing and roughing it. And after I grew up and had gone away to school and had come back and received my first appointment as pastor of a church in North Texas, Dad asked me if I wanted to join him, just him and me, on fishing trips to our old stomping grounds up in Oklahoma. I said yes, but on one condition. Dad's idea of roughing it, camping outdoors, with no beds, no electricity, no indoor plumbing, no indoors at all. My idea of roughing it, quite frankly, had long ago become staying at a hotel without room service. No, that wasn't for me, friends. I wasn't going to rough it again. I told Dad, I said, if we're going to go to Oklahoma and we're going to go fishing for a couple of weeks or even just 1 week, I'd like to have a cabin to stay in that had beds and had electricity and had hot showers and had some place to cook and some place to relax and get away from the ultra heat that can sometimes happen up there in Oklahoma in the middle of July. And Dad said, okay. And so we would go up and stay in cabin just outside of Smithville, Oklahoma, and fish the upper Mountain Fork River. Now, fishing on the Mountain Fork River involved getting in our canoe, and I would get in the back and I'd be paddling, and my dad would sit in the front and he would be fly fishing along the bank, and he had the way of identifying just the most fishy places along that bank. He knew where they were lurking, where they were sitting, and he would say, I think something's fishy over here, and he'd be casting with that fly rod, and he taught me how to fly fish, and I can't do it, but he was the artist with it. He turned it into a work of art. My granddad was good, my grandmother was superb, but my dad was a true artist with fly fishing, and he could get that little fly on the end of his line right up there underneath the trees without catching it in the brush, and he could pop it along the surface of the water just right to entice the fish to come up and to grab it from underneath, and he'd hook it and then bring it in. He was a master at that. Me, I'd be fishing, and I'd get caught up in the trees or the brush, or I'd have a fish on the line and didn't even know it, and I'd backcast, and I'd be fishing in the middle of the lake before I knew it. No. So Dad would be fishing, and I'd be paddling, and we'd be talking. We would share stories. We'd talk about our hopes and our dreams for the future. We'd talk about life, Dad's life experience with my mother and as a kid on that very same river in that same area. We'd talk about stuff that I had heard a dozen or more times before from either my granddad or my dad. Stories of being up there during the Second World War. Then I'd hear stories that I'd never heard before and I've never heard since. Stories about the difficulties of life. Stories about not knowing where next week's meals were going to come from because the money had run out back when he was a student. Stories about having to leave mother when he'd go off into service, not knowing if he'd ever see her again or she'd ever see him. Painful stories, powerful stories, stories I will never forget. One of the things my dad would say, and as he would be casting, he would say this kind of offhand, he would say, "Greg, always make sure that when you're fishing for people, that you're always open to whatever God puts on your line." As I can remember, Dad, he'd catch a fish and he'd bring it in. He'd look, and says, "Too small, throw it away, back into the water." Or he'd catch it, "Too big, we keep that one to eat later." And we catch another one, and, "Oh, this one's perfect," and put it into the basket. And then after we'd be fishing for a while, we'd gather enough brim and bluegill and goggle eye of the right size. We'd go and we'd put out a trot line. A trot line is a line that has hooks on it that you stretch across either narrows in the river or across one element or one side or one tributary of the river. It has hooks on it with a weight in the middle to hold it down towards the bottom. And you'd put the little brim or the little bluegill or the little goggle eye that we'd just caught onto those hooks and bait it. Because we were fly fishing for trot line bait. Because while sometimes you'd catch a really large goggle eye on your fly rod and it would be delicious, or sometimes you'd catch a smallmouth bass of delicious on your fly rod, what we were really after was catfish. We'd want that catfish. Then fried up catfish. Oh, and that cornmeal that you would flop it in before you'd put it into the frying pan, you'd smell it sizzling. Or sometimes my dad would cook it Cajun style, blackened. Oh my God, that was so good. I'm making myself hungry just thinking about it. There's nothing better than fresh catfish fried in the pan right out of the river. Nothing better than, and that's what we were fishing for on the trot line. The fly rod was the best way to catch the trot line bait to catch the catfish, which is what we really wanted. And in the very similar process in the ancient world, when Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, they'd go out and they'd go fishing on their boats in the Sea of Galilee or Lake Tiberias or Lake Gennesaret, all the same thing. They'd go out and they would cast a net. The net had hooks and it had weights connected to those, and so when you'd cast the net, it would hit the water, flare it out, and then it would go down. And as it went down, it would pull together the bottom of it to catch whatever fish were under the net. And then sometimes they put out a larger drogue net, and they would pull it through the water, sometimes between two boats, and bring in a large catch of, in the Sea of Galilee, that would be tilapia. That's what they were fishing for back then, and that's what they fish for today in Lake Tiberias. They're fishing for tilapia. And then they would bring the catch onto the boat, and they would sit there, and they'd sort through. And they would throw out the sickly ones and throw out the ones that were too old, throw out the pregnant ones, throw out the ones that were too small, and they would just keep those that would be the best for eating and for selling, because they were engaged in commerce. So here we have a story about Jesus coming onto the boat. And they've been fishing all night long. They haven't caught anything. They're cleaning their nets. Jesus comes up and gets on the boat and has them set out just a little bit off the shore so he can turn and he can sit down and he can preach to the people who've gathered in on the lake shore. Right there. Good place to speak from. If you ever go out on the Sea of Galilee today, you'll notice that the acoustics are amazing because the sea is in the center of a bowl. It has walls around it, or ground around it. It's a depression. It's below sea level, actually. The water level is there. And if you're on the lake and you say something, it echoes quite a ways onto shore. And so that's what Jesus did. He went out on this boat and he sits down, faces the shore where the people are gathered in, and he preaches a sermon. A sermon that we know from Matthew's gospel called the Sermon on the Mount. Here it's a sermon on the lake shore. And he preaches this message. And then he turns to Simon. Simon, who he would nickname Rocky, or in Hebrew, Aramaic, Kepha, gets translated into Greek as Petros. That's where we get Peter from. He tells him, "Set out and put down your nets in the deep water for a catch." Simon says, "We fished all night and didn't catch anything yet. If you tell us to do it, we'll do it. So they go out a little bit, and then they set down their nets. They let down their nets, their drogue nets, and then they pull them in, and they have such an amazing catch. They couldn't believe it, and everybody was amazed, and Simon was terrified, and he goes to his knees before Jesus, and he says, "Go away from me, I'm a sinner, I can't take this." James and John, watching from ashore, they had to come out to help. They were amazed at the huge catch that Jesus had provided. And then Jesus says, "Take heart." And one of the most famous lines, "Take heart, do not be afraid, do not fear, be brave. From now on, you will be catching people." Not fish, people. You will be seeking out not lost fish in deep water, but lost people, hurting people in the depths of life. You'll be seeking out those who need to hear the promise of the love of God. The line is baited. The nets are readied. All we have to do is cast them. And God will provide, as God provided here, a beautiful bounty. That's what Jesus is saying to Simon and James and John. And it says that they went ashore and they followed him. They left their business, their everyday lives, their gainful employment, and they followed Jesus in catching, in gathering in people. And the church is called to do the same. I'm a fisherman, my dad and I, we fish for fish to eat. That's where the analogy breaks down, by the way, friends. We're called to cast the net wide and deep into the lake of this life, into this lake, Wood, into East Dallas, into all of Dallas, and indeed through the internet to the whole world. We're called to cast our nets wide and deep for those who are hungering and thirsting for the good news of the love of God, for the good news of Jesus. We're called to cast our nets wide and deep. And unlike the disciples and unlike my dad and I, we don't go through and pick, keep, throw away, too young, too old, too sick. No! God sends us the bounty of those who need to hear, who want to hear, who desire to hear, who are hungering and thirsting to hear and receive the good news. And we are called to gather them in an amazing catch. And receive them and cherish them. My dad made an art of fishing. I used to love to sit and watch him fish. He said, "Don't you want to fish?" "No, I'd rather paddle, Dad." So I could watch him do the catching. He was an amazing man to watch fish. I love being in the boat of the church paddling and watching as the people of God, the disciples of Jesus, the people of God, the children of God, the church, casts its nets wide and gathers in the abundance of those who are hungering and thirsting for the good news of God's love. That's why we're here. That's what we're called to do as the body of Christ, the church. We meet and worship to be fed, to be nourished, to be taught, to be enabled, to go outside these doors into this community, to where we work and where we live, and to share God's love with others. And we're fed and we're nourished and we're strengthened here through the many means of grace. Through prayer and singing and worship, through giving, through the hearing the scriptures read and proclaimed, through the sacrament of Holy Communion, We come here to be fed and nourished and strengthened and enabled to cast the nets wide and deep into Lake Wood, into East Dallas and Dallas and indeed the world, to share God's love with all. Today, as you come to the table of the Lord, allow the grace of God to feed you. Allow the grace of God to gather you in. Allow the grace of God to then enable you to share God's love with all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come and he would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of the faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
our souls together as the choir leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.